When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Folks, today's episode takes us across the planet to a grisly and continuing mystery. We're exploring a story with, at times, terrifying and graphic depictions of violence and depravity, as well as profoundly disturbing implications for the present day. As such, this may not be suitable for all listeners. This is the tale of Nigeria's so-called Forest of Horror. Here are the facts. First, let's get our Western heads around Nigeria. It's no secret that in the West, in the U.S., in Europe, reporting of any country in the African continent is often beset by a lot of prejudice, by a lot of sensationalism, and by a lot of, you could call it the shadow of colonialism. So as a result, I would argue many people in the West don't understand how big a deal Nigeria actually is. It's a huge deal.
It's true. It's the most populous country in the entire African continent. And historically, it's been home to several ancient kingdoms way before Western Europeans started colonizing the area in the 1800s. This is a very old civilization with tradition and history dating back centuries. While its roots date back deep into the historical record, modern Nigeria could be described or viewed as a relatively young country. It became officially independent as recently as October of 1960. And today, you'll find that it's a multinational state that's made up of more than 250 separate ethnic groups, speaking collectively more than 500 distinct languages.
Yeah, so take that, American melting pot. You've got a ways to go. This is also home to some of the world's largest populations of people practicing Islam and people practicing Christianity.
at the same time. Most of the Muslim population is going to be in the northern region and the Christian population concentrated in the south. And like every country, every large country especially, Nigeria is to a degree a study in contradiction. When you hear these facts, folks, please don't think that this is us casting aspersion. We're well aware that the United States has a ton of problems too, right? So know that every country is in a glass house after a certain threshold. It's just, I think these contradictions will be surprising to a lot of people who are not familiar with Nigeria itself.
Exactly. One thing we always talk about when we bring up the continent of Africa is the Western resource extraction interests that often pop up in stories that we discuss. And Nigeria is one of the places in Africa that is just full of natural resources, all kinds of stuff: zinc, iron, coal, limestone, lead, and one of the main resources, oil, all kinds of oil reserves underneath the earth there. And largely for that reason, Nigeria is, I believe, been the 25th largest economy in the world, and definitely the largest economy on the African continent.
Yeah, yeah. 25th largest in terms of GDP, gross domestic mm-hmm. product. And that's why it has, that's why it's referred to at times by geopoliticians, I guess you would call them, and the business interest of the world as the giant of Africa. It's not just oil and gas. It's got tons of coal, lead, tin, zinc, limestone. And you're absolutely right, Matt. It suffers from what is called the resource curse, which is the seemingly contradictory position a lot of developing countries find themselves in. Their resources could be immensely profitable for the government of that place and for its people, but instead, these resources seem to be extracted by foreign powers, whether private or other state actors. And with those extraction agreements comes a great deal of corruption. This is a part of why Nigeria is, again, like many, many countries, beset by problems. The Human Development Index finds that Nigeria is, right now, as we record in 2022, one of the most corrupt nations on the planet. And remember, corruption is just like one genre of crime. You know, if you go into the Baskin-Robbins of crime, corruption is one of the flavors. How many flavors does Baskin-Robbins have?
31?
32? I think it's 31. All right. So yes, corruption is one of those 30-ish flavors. Crime is high, especially in certain areas of the country. And if you go to your local if you go to your own country's website or travel advisory thing, we have the State Department here in the U.S., then you will likely see warnings against visiting certain areas. These include the Niger Delta, parts of the northern regions of Nigeria, and they're due to concerns about the likelihood of street crime against tourists or against foreigners, robbery, assault, activities of terrorist groups like Boko Haram, which is still around, even though the news doesn't report on it anymore, and kidnapping, which is a not infrequent crime and plays a big part in today's story. As a matter of fact, in the Gulf of Guinea, where the waters along the Nigerian coast, there are still pirates to this day, modern day pirates. So it does have dangers to it.
And then they often are some of the ones perpetrating the kidnappings, but also targeting merchant vessels and things like that. I mean, you know, pirate.
Yeah, exactly. And in many cases, you know, you have to exercise a degree of empathy and understand that a lot of folks don't wake up and think, when I grow up, I can't wait to commit crimes. People are driven there through systemic economic problems. So that's just an important piece of context to add whenever we have this conversation. Still, there we go. It's a melting pot of ancient cultures. It's an economic powerhouse. Nigeria still carries the intergenerational effects of colonization, the resource curse. It's currently out of 190 plus UN acknowledged countries. It gets sticky, you know, as 193, as 195. Other countries get mad about it. Out of all of those, out of almost 200 countries, Nigeria is ranked 17th least peaceful out of all the countries on the planet. And despite the way it's portrayed so often in Western media, again, it's really important for us who have not been to Nigeria to remember, like every other place in the world, it's chock full of regular people. They're just doing their best to navigate day-to-day challenges just like anyone else. You know what I mean? Just like anybody else, regular people are thinking, oh man, I really got to pee, or oof, I need to eat lunch, stuff like that. That's where today's story starts, with regular people, a group of people, kind of co-workers of a sort. They're these motorcycle taxi drivers in a place called Ibadan, which is the capital city of Nigeria's Oyo State. If you look on a map, just for reference, Oyo is like to the southwest of Nigeria. It's in that part of the area, just to give you a mental map. And in 2014, one of these cyclists went missing. The drivers felt local police weren't helping out, which was not an infrequent, not an uncommon opinion in that area. The police are largely considered to be corrupt. So this guy's colleagues took the search in their own hands, and they were not prepared for what they would find. There's no way they really could be. Here's where it gets crazy. Calling this next part text from a ghost. You'll see why in a second. So these taxi drivers, their friend doesn't just go missing. This guy, a man known as Kazim in the media, he is part of a group called the Okada Riders. That's the group of these taxi drivers. They're friends. They hang out. Some of them are relatives. They're all connected is the point. And they start receiving these cryptic, very disturbed text messages from Kazim. He says he's been kidnapped, not just kidnapped, but he's being held captive somewhere in the Soka forest. Soka is like kind of, think of a suburb, or it's a satellite community of Ibadan, which is the capital. And Soka is off of the Lagos-Ibadan expressway. So just to situate it there.
If you're thinking about Oyo, the state we were talking about, where it is in the kind of the southwestern area of Nigeria itself, Ibadan, the capital, is just south of Oyo. So connecting basically Ibadan and Oyo, there's a series of roads. One of them is a main, very main highway, and that's what we're talking about right here.
And Kazim's friends know this is not a prank. This is not some sort of reality show situation. They know it because kidnapping, for any number of reasons, is unfortunately not an infrequent occurrence in Nigeria. And importantly, kidnappers don't just target, you know, hapless tourist. Anybody can become a victim. The text that Kazim sends to his relatives and to his colleagues describe the area to the best of his ability, but it's very, you know, it's difficult to do so. And he says that he is currently with eight other strangers in an underground dungeon somewhere in the forest. And this isn't much, but his colleagues, his relatives, they take it seriously. They first go to the police, and the police don't do anything.
It's at least perceived that way. The group, like the friends of this person, Kazim, didn't see any police activity. They weren't alerted of any police activity. You know, there was nothing. If there was some kind of investigation, it wasn't happening in the open.
Right, exactly. And they weren't being clued in. They felt stonewalled and ignored. Important to note, we'll talk about reporting too in this episode. At this point, the story kind of diverges into a couple of different narratives. The New Telegraph, for instance, says that leading up to this, three cyclists in total had gone missing, but other news sources focus only on this Kazim guy. And it may be because it was Kazim's friends who were able to make some headway. Despite the plausibility of a kidnapping, because the local police seemed dismissive and corrupt, the drivers banded together. They took the search into their own hands. They said, "We're going to find our friend." And they did find something. We'll tell you what they found after a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
All right, so you are a member of the Okada Riders, right? Or you are a member of Kazim's extended family, and you're going off very little information. So you start searching all of the areas that might match up to what this guy is talking about in his text. Eventually, you and this group stumble across a building that no one has seen before. None of you are familiar with it. It's kind of newish, but it's in poor repair, and there's an eerie silence hanging over the air. You can maybe hear some mechanics working in the distance. They'll appear in the story later. But at first, it just looks like a disused warehouse.
It does. Before we really give those details, Ben, I just want to reiterate to everybody how, in my mind, unlikely it is that this relatively small group of people out searching for their friend was able to discover this compound, because the number of square kilometers or miles that they had to cover between those two places, it's mind boggling to me, the number of places that they had to have searched, or, you know, that they could have stumbled upon that wasn't this place, but they did find it. I don't know. To me, that's pretty miraculous and incredible. But what they, yeah, as you said, Ben, what they did find is I didn't even want to talk about it. Hey, Noel, you want to tell people what they found?
Yeah, man, sure. I'm a glutton for punishment. Let me take it. Yeah, it's rough. So prepare yourselves. No joke. They, like you said, they stumbled upon this compound. It was a massive warehousey type space and very poor repair. And upon entering it, they found something utterly shocking and disturbing. Around 20 decomposing bodies piled up throughout the compound. Various dismembered body parts, college identification cards. That's the part that really creeps me out. I mean, it all creeps me out, but just that part, discarded, you know, clothing, you know, just scattered all throughout the interior of the building. Passports, baby shoes. It was an absolute slaughterhouse. I mean, truly, you know, an abattoir. There were, though, I wouldn't call this quality of life, but people were alive in there, had been chained like animals, malnourished, gaunt and weathered and emaciated. One woman that was found claimed to have given birth recently, and that her child was then taken by whomever was acting as their jailers. Another victim died very quickly after being discovered. The details are a little bit hazy. There's some differing reports on just how many people were found alive or roaming the compound in some sort of fugue state. But it's estimated that 8 to 10 people were found in chains, and maybe as many as 20 or more overall at the site.
Yeah, some allegedly in an underground tunnel, some chained out in the open, and then some wandering. Just wandering the premise. And there were a lot of bodies that were found in the bushes. Some had been put in other buildings on the compound. The passports and the IDs stand out to me as well. I was able to find the names that were on the IDs, but we're not going to put them in the show because this should be an ongoing investigation. Should be. We'll get to that in a second. So
let's also mention the large number of human remains that were found that were just bones. They were scattered all over the place, not just in specific buildings, but just in the wooded areas, on the ground. We're talking full human skulls and other bones just lying around.
Right, which means that these people had died at different times. So this could be called a mass grave, but these people didn't die all at the same time. And the people who were still alive clearly bore signs of trauma and injury. There were also things like hands discovered that weren't, that experts weren't able to link to another body or set of bones on the site. So for the people who make this initial discovery, this is a horror movie, a hellish scene come to life. They freed the victims that they found. They made their escape. They went to the authorities. They did not find their friend who had been texting them. And they did not see any people who appeared to be the perpetrators of these crimes, at least at this time. Word spreads like wildfire throughout the community. People in the capital and beyond, the Oyo capital and beyond, families who have their own missing relatives from other states, from other parts of the country, they all start flocking to the area. It becomes too big for law enforcement to ignore. This sparks a nationwide controversy. And the authorities start making public statements. Let's go to Oyo State Police spokesperson Olabisi Ilobanafor. And also, no, we are not native speakers of languages of Nigeria. Ilobanafor says police are launching a murder investigation. And when they arrive, they even arrest some suspects at the scene. This is fascinating. They've arrested six suspects. Five of these were security guards that were apparently armed with guns as well as bows and arrows. But these six individuals are not publicly named. And very quickly, they disappear from the news. Remember what we say about speculation and transparency? In the absence of transparency, speculation thrives. This warehouse is also interesting to authorities because it appears to be a recent construction. The Soka area is being developed at this time, and it looks like some building companies, this is the initial thought, it looks like some building companies or some kind of company created this compound and then abandoned it. Maybe abandoned it when they were done with their nearby work. Maybe it was just like to store equipment. Maybe they abandoned it when some other project was complete. Unclear. Unclear to this day, actually. And then the locals start saying something really interesting. They say, this is not a new problem at all. In fact, they say, we have been going to local law enforcement for years, reporting mysterious disappearances in the area. And in every case, we are dismissed or we're brushed off. And then remember we talked about the sound maybe of some nearby mechanics? There are mechanics who operate near the site, and they say they had no knowledge of any crimes taking place until these motorcycle taxi guys discover the compound. But they say it is weird that they see a lot of posh vehicles heading to and from this site, often under the cover of night. This is not a place where, by the way, you would ordinarily see like a Range Rover or Mercedes just cruising through.
No, not at all. I just have to bring this up, guys. It's so odd to me that people working anywhere near this compound wouldn't have known something was amiss. And it's only because of the reporting I've seen of the smell of the area and how far that smell permeated or spread rather throughout the area. There were multiple locations within the compound and outside the compound where decaying human remains existed and just sat. And there was one, I think it was one specific reporter from Sahara Reporters, at least that was the outlet that I'd seen it on, and a couple of YouTube reports done in 2014, where even well after the fact, after this place had been discovered, after it had been even cleaned up a little bit, there was this smell as you approach. So it's just, it's odd to me that people wouldn't notice that.
It's the smell of death is the issue. Death has its own smell, unfortunately. It's easily identified.
And it lingers and it spreads. Right. And it's not something you would mistake for anything else.
Right. It's not to sound too woo-woo or hippie, but I believe it smells very different from just decaying meat. And this calls into question a couple of other things. One of the survivors talks about hearing screams when she is abducted, and she said she didn't know if that was the sound of people being harmed or if it was the sound of someone giving birth. So we have to wonder how close these mechanics were and how sound carries through the forest. This is not looking good. In short, locals begin to fear that what the community has discovered is something more than a lunatic going Ed Gein and just murdering people due to their own mental state. They believe that someone has stumbled across a business, that some entity or some powerful group was mutilating, torturing, and murdering these people for a specific purpose, a grisly, magical purpose. And it may sound weird if you are unfamiliar with the history of the area to all of a sudden mention magic or magical practices. But this belief, as surprising as it may sound to outsiders, does not come from thin air. There is a long-running system of belief amid certain groups in Nigeria that and throughout other parts of the world, by the way, that human body parts can be used in magical rituals to grant financial or political success, to protect you from other evil spells or physical harm, methods for obtaining the favor of a lover or harming an enemy. The favor of a lover one is a little bit different. That's more of a bodily fluid thing, but this is real. And if you want to learn more about similar practices, then you can check out our earlier work on the dangers posed to people with albinism in certain parts of the African continent.
Is that because it's seen as some kind of curse or some kind of mystical something?
There's a lot of folklore and superstition surrounding people who have the condition of albinism, and it really affects the social integration of people with albinism in their local communities. Also, depending on where you live on the continent, it's already really rough just from a physical, standpoint because of the sun exposure. So there's a lot of strain on people in those communities, especially children. If you have a child who has albinism, in some communities, it's seen as a bad omen or treated as unwanted. So there's infanticide occurs as well.
Let's quickly go back a little bit just to this concept of what locals began to imagine or think what was occurring there, right? And we've got some of the beliefs tied to perhaps magical or other some type of rituals that people could have been used for or body parts could have been used for. There's also very, you know, humanity has a very real relationship with human sacrifice. Just look to your nearest Bible to see great examples of all the human sacrifice that we've been putting forward and repeating for millennia. Doesn't happen everywhere. Doesn't happen often anymore, but it still does happen. And also just bringing it up, guys, we just did that episode on body brokers. This is already feeling to me like something we've discussed recently. Like, this feels like a business.
What a sloppy business, though. I mean, they're certainly not covering their tracks very well.
Well, we'll see, because the question is what means covering one's tracks well, you know,
and how much covering is even required given certain assistances, let's just say.
Right. Yeah, the question of complicity gets curiouser and curiouser. Yeah, and let's stop for a moment to talk as well about reporting problems in this case. So in the West, reporting took a decidedly macabre, somewhat sensationalistic bent. At least in some stories that I got into, reporters were leaning into old stereotypes instead of looking objectively at things like chain of evidence, things like operations of law enforcement, and, you know, just regular police procedure, the way that you would normally look at crimes of this magnitude. And this confusion is further complicated by conflicting statements of police and the local government. And this is also further confounded by the fact, the inarguable fact, that there are multiple reports of what appear to be ritual killings in southern Nigeria in the years leading up to this discovery. We don't have to get into all of them, but if you want to get a sense of this, you can go to refworld.org and just search for an article called "Nigeria, Prevalence of Ritual Murder and Human Sacrifice, Police and State Response, 2009 to 2012. This is a long read. So,
yeah, and this is there's a lot of that from the Sahara reporters here, the same ones that we've been citing for this. Stuff that was written back in, it was around 2010, but you can find it.
Yeah, I would recommend Sahara reporters. You'll want to dig honestly into the bibliography of the wiki, because that's where you can find some archived things from New Telegraph Online, Vanguard and GR. You can also find a couple of Reddit threads, but I would stick with the local regional reporting out of Nigeria at the time, maybe some of the British stuff as well, just as long as you have that caveat about the Western Eye.
Yeah, that Vanguard outlet you mentioned, Ben, that one I know had multiple pretty good write-ups on situation there as it was ongoing.
Yeah, it covers the riot. It covers the, well, spoilers. We're almost there, folks. Yes.
It covers a lot of stuff.
It does. So let's go back to Ilo Banafor, the police spokesperson. One of the first public statements the spokesperson makes is, "It is not a common occurrence in Ibadan or in the state. The police will investigate this crime in all its ramifications. They deploy a forensic team to the forest. Authorities attempt to search a nearby cave upon, rumors that the criminals may be holed up in there, as if they hadn't somehow noticed a crowd and ran away. The survivors, for their part, they attempt to assist as best as they can, but they are in terrible physical and mental condition. They have survived hellish things. One died shortly after discovery. Most were struggling to cut through their trauma and remember any specifics. Some remained in a catatonic, non-responsive, traumatized state. There is one victim that we're okay with sharing the name of on air, because this victim was in recovery, gave his full name, and related his experience on the record. So he's given consent in this sense. His name, Nafiu Shutu, and he said he was kidnapped 4 months ago from the capital of Oyo. And he was selling herbs on the street, herbal remedies. He had been sitting down because he had been on his feet all day, and he was forced in a car by two men. And then he said that's all he could remember. He blacked out, and when he woke up, he was one of those people in the forest in a room chained to a wall for 4 months.
Can you imagine the panic and just the horror? Not to mention if he was like surrounded by decaying bodies and other prisoners. I mean, it's unclear. Were there like other compartments where folks were being kept, or was it all kind of out in this open area?
There were other compartments.
Yeah.
It seems so. Yeah.
Yeah. And just, imagine a brick building that doesn't really have doors. It's got openings. The windows aren't in place. It's just, they're openings, but it is made out of brick and a couple other materials.
It looks unfinished, and there are outbuildings as well. And if you've been to, if you've traveled to some developing countries, then you've seen structures like this before. You know, often in Central or South America, there'll be cinder block structures where there is a door opening. Maybe there's a sheet hanging, right? Or maybe there are sheets hanging in the apertures for windows, but there's not like glass or wood and hinges and all that. And part of the reason for that is maybe the project lost funding, or maybe it's unfinished. But also, depending on the climate, you may not need to insulate against cold weather because it just might not get that cold. So there are a number of reasons this could happen.
Well, yeah, but I don't care where you are. Mosquitoes will get you.
You got to get netted up. Yeah. Getting netted up.
Unless that guy who invented a cure for mosquitoes, unless he gets to deploy that. But that's a different story altogether. We do know that bugs were a problem. They were on the survivors.
I can only imagine, with no intervention, with nothing protecting you or any, even just like spray of some kind. I mean, you could absolutely get very sick from those bites. It's interesting, too. We're talking about kind of this, like, urban decay and projects that, maybe lost funding in the landscape of this part of the world. I guess it would make for a pretty good ruse to have officials stopping you and saying that they're part of a, quote, urban renewal initiative. And could you please come with me?
Right.
Like, under the guise of, like, we're going to help you out. We're going to, like, put you in a new living situation or something, right?
or force you to go. Yeah, this is okay. So let's talk a little bit about this. This is one of the statements by multiple victims. They said that their kidnappers had said they were officials of a urban renewal initiative. And because they were officials and because they were preying on people who didn't have the money for a bribe, these folks felt that they didn't have a choice, right? And an urban renewal initiative, it has a couple of unfortunately similar themes with things that have happened in the United States not too very long ago. And I just want to plant that seed, and then we'll see what kind of unclean tree sprouts from the conversation later. Crowds of people from Oyo and other parts of the country gather at this site. And those who arrive before the police have cordoned off the area are astounded, in no small part just disturbed by what they find. You have to remember that there's a time interval here. The local communities are connected via mobile phone, via word of mouth. So they are much more effective at getting the word out before the authorities take official or public action. So the people beat the police to the scene, is what we're saying. And when they're there...
And also remember, a lot of these people potentially have a missing person from their family or friend group that they are searching for.
Right. And when they hear about the just sheer amount of bodies and they hear about living victims being found, it makes them reasonably think this might be an opportunity for closure or even the rediscovery of a loved one. So some of the people who arrive there, they say they see the chains. They see what they recognize as magical charms or the makings of those charms. And they see a slab. And the slab appeared to have blood on it. It looked like this was where victims were taken and mutilated, assaulted, or killed. The police arrive. Tensions are high. They've cordoned off the area. People are demanding to be let in because they want to search for their own loved ones. And just a few days after the discovery, a riot occurs between law enforcement and concerned citizens. Law enforcement fires live rounds into the crowd. At least one woman is hit by a stray bullet and later dies as a result. Local herdsmen, Fulani herdsmen, are operating in the area. And because of one of the knives found at the scene of the warehouse, other people who are not herdsmen start thinking, hey, these guys are responsible. In retaliation, they start killing their cows. They say the same thing, Matt, that you had mentioned, rightly so, I thought of it too, about the mechanics. They say, look, you are so familiar with this area. You live in step with this land. You cannot claim that you didn't know what was going on there. So everybody is looking for a perpetrator, right? And this is where the governor of Oyo steps in, and this is where it begins to get even more like true crime or a noir story, somewhat of a mix between H.P. Lovecraft and True Detective. You'll see what we mean after a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
So the local governor has to step in. This is blowing up. He visits the scene to calm the situation, and you can go to a couple of different outlets and read excerpts of his speech. Long story short, he vows that they're going to find the perpetrators. They're going to excavate the area, and they're going to find any other remains. They are also going to revoke, made a big deal about this, the right to land ownership for whomever might own the land. And he elides past that point. And then he
basically
also says
the state is just taking ownership of it, right?
Right. And he also says the government, like the locals, had no knowledge of this atrocity. This reassures some members of the community, but not everyone is convinced. There's a guy named Ayodele Adigun, and Adigun, once upon a time, was a secretary of the Oyo government, and he says the current governor is lying, and that his visit to the site, his claims of innocence, were little more than a ruse, a performance. Adigun says that a cover-up is afoot. He says that the current governor's administration didn't just know about this compound, but that they created it as part of a failed, abandoned urban renewal project. Yes, it turns out that the Urban Renewal Initiative was real, but its existence only leads to more questions. I think maybe for perspective, we can talk a little bit about loosely similar things that have happened in states in the U.S. There have been cases where one occurred in Atlanta during the 1996 Olympics, where people, in an attempt to beautify their city for visitors, said, let's get the bad element, the rough element out. And so they would give unhoused or homeless people one-way bus tickets. Go wherever you want. You just can't come back. And this happened in Hawaii. Hawaii actually built an island where they were telling unhoused people, yeah, you could totally go to this island. We'll make sure you have food and everything. You just can't come back to Hawaii. They'll also give you a plane ticket in Hawaii, I think, to the mainland. One way.
Guys, I'm getting these weird, I don't know, I'm getting images of Hamsterdam from The Wire, where you can look that up if you don't know what that is. It feels like something that had good intentions maybe at the beginning, this urban renewal project we're talking about here, and then it turned into something just completely different.
Sometimes with all the best intentions, things can spiral out of control and kind of take on a life of their own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Look at Police Academy. Yeah.
This we started this, on Police Academy too.
Right. This is true, and this may be indeed be one of the possibilities. So Adigun says that this area, the site of this horror, was acquired by the current administration 2011, and it was meant to be a rehabilitation center for the mentally unwell and the destitute who are getting taken off the streets. But, he says, the administration didn't provide funding or oversight to maintain it. And those allegations, if they're true, are incredibly disturbing. He goes into further detail about this, and you can find this. He is actually saying this. He says between 2011 and 2013, there was a beautification plan. There was a committee headed by someone named Tomi Oke, a special advisor on environment and habitat. And this committee gathered the mentally ill and the extremely poor and placed them in this compound to get them off the streets and then just forgot about them. So from Adigun's perspective, this opened, he seems to believe this opened the door for criminal activity, for a ritualistic trade in human body parts. He says the state government went to sleep and people of dubious character probably found a ready market to buy the merchandise they wanted. So he's not saying that the government itself actively created this charnel house, but he's saying because of the government's negligence and arguably incompetence, other forces were able to come into play and to leverage this for their own ability. Locals would tend to agree. They take it further, though. Many of the locals were convinced the government knew more than it was letting on. Some, like Adigun, do stop short of saying the government actually knowingly participated in ritualistic slaughter, but others think it goes deeper. And that's one of the big conspiracy theories. It's one that continues, in a way, even today, almost a decade later. Could the powerful upper crust of Oyo and societies in other areas have actively operated a body parts factory using these remains for magical purposes? It's a disturbing question, and it may sound sensationalistic, but this, again, is something that locals in the area believe on what they perceive to be pretty solid evidence. You know, that's why we have to walk through some of the context here. And you can learn more about this story from multiple angles. It's freely available, but eventually the Western media turned away from these developments. Other things started happening in other parts of the world. The story went cold. As we record in May of 2022, the murderers remain officially uncaught. The kidnappers remain officially uncaught. The crimes remain unsolved to this day. And it seems that the authorities would like the community to move on. Because if you visit Soka today, you're not going to see the remains of this warehouse.
Yeah, I don't know. Something smells bad from here in Atlanta, where it feels like there was definitely something going on that they, at least the police were told not to do certain things. I just get that feeling. That's my opinion, but it feels that way. Something went really, really wrong with that urban renewal project. And they just went, that's not something you need to worry about.
Isn't that a plot point in the new Batman movie? There's a whole thing about like the Gotham Urban Renewal Fund. And it's like, not no spoilers, really. It's just like it's a central kind of mover in the plot, this fund and the corruption within it.
Yeah, because it has very little oversight. in this story. So it can function as petty cash or slush money. Yeah. You have to wonder what the financial motivations are all the time in these sorts of things.
Is that the Paul Dano one?
Yeah.
Cool.
Why are you making a face?
I love face. That dude's awesome. Oh, I didn't mean to make a face.
Oh, you might thought, yeah, is that the Paul Dano?
It's no way. Like
it was bad. It's great. Have you not seen it? It's awesome.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's on HBO Max. It's super good. I like it better than the Christopher Nolan ones.
See y'all later. I'm going to go watch Batman.
You should. It's about 3.5 hours long.
So we've got to consider the perspective of the parents here. You know, you live in a residential neighborhood. There's a gas station. The community seems to be growing. Do you want to send your kids to the school that's built on? Do you want to send them to the Ohio State Comprehensive Model College, which is by all reports a pretty good school for the area? Just don't know what else is in the ground. And now these questions remain. You know, what happened here? One thing that really bothers me on a personal level is not so much that there are discrepancies about how many survivors or bodies were found, but more so that it seems that a lot of leads in this case were dropped before they were fully investigated. Like passports. Passports are usually pretty well documented, right? And they're usually linked to other identifying documents. Where are the passports? Where do those go? What happened to maybe DNA testing? Was it a matter of funding? What happened to reports of the wealthy people apparently visiting the site? Were they there in the early days of this as an urban renewal project and then just left? Were the funds drained and used for, you know, to enrich someone else's bank account? There are a lot of unanswered questions here. And one of those unanswered questions is the same question that the taxi driver started out with in the very beginning. What happened to our friend who sent the text? To this day, no one knows where Kazim is, and no one knows what happened to him. And for many in this area, these questions remain the stuff they don't want you to know. This is a grisly one. Again, this should not in any way be taken to be indicative of the state of Nigeria as a whole. It is a huge country. It's a populous country. But these kind of stories show you how quickly stuff can be forgotten, even when it shouldn't be. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys think this will ever be solved? Do you think anybody will come forward? And no, Matt's giving a no.
I mean,
that's 2014. So it's been so long. You think about that.
Well, and this is the kind of, speaking of the stuff they don't want you to know, is the kind of stuff that they will kill you for over. You know, you say the wrong name, you seen as a snitch or whatever, or a rat. I mean, this is whatever the involvement of the authorities. This is obviously a criminal organization that is brutal and bloodthirsty and willing to go to any means necessary to protect themselves. Oh, no. Silence, you know.
Well, I haven't heard any stories about witnesses being killed. I mean, you know, honestly, I haven't seen any reporting on people who are disappearing after this, like that's linked in some way to the story. I don't know. That's all I'm seeing. That's all I mean is that.
You mean the people that were discovered alive? You think they might have been potential targets if what I'm saying was true?
Well, I think anyone reporting on it or digging into the story too deeply would be targets if what you're saying is true. That's my opinion. Fair. It's not necessarily true.
I read I read some reports before the school was built, which happened pretty quickly after the investigation, almost as if somebody wanted someone to stop asking questions. I read some very interesting accounts from journalists in the area who said that they were not just getting stonewalled, they were getting like physically threatened for asking questions. So the danger is there. But these sorts of stories do occur, and they do, again, I cannot emphasize this enough, they do fall out of the news cycle, and they often don't seem to be investigated to the level of scrutiny that they deserve. So we want to hear from you. What do you think? Will this crime ever be solved? What do you think was happening? Do you think something like this is still happening today? Let us know. And let us know if there are other similar tales from your neck of the global woods. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for tuning in. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. Join that thing. Get in on the conversation. Share a meme. Make a friend. It's a good place to hang. And good mods that are very generous with their time and keep everybody on there honest. You can also find us on Twitter and YouTube. All of these places, we are under the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, add a show to the end of that. We're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Yeah, just a reminder to continue supporting the YouTube channel. It's still out there. We're still putting up content. There's going to be more in the future, and there will be a steady stream of stuff. So check that out. Keep it in your thoughts, everybody. Reminder that our book, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, comes out in October. You can pre-order it right now, however you wish to do that. If you're interested, we'd love for you to do that. Hey, and if you don't like social media, you can give us a telephone call.
Until the day we get Black Bag, you can drop us a line at, say it with me, 1-833-STDWYTK in the morning. No, kidding. You can call anytime you like. You'll hear a hopefully familiar voice letting you know you've arrived at the right place. And then you have 3 minutes. Go nuts. Get weird with it. Go to the edge of weirdness, and then jump off the cliff. Give yourself a cool nickname, a moniker, if you will, and then let us know what's on your mind. Jokes, observations, personal anecdotes. We can't wait to hear it. Second most important thing on that call, let us know if we can use your name and or message on air, or let us know if it's just between us and the NSA. The first most important thing, of course, do not censor yourself. This is not the show for that. If you have a story that needs 10 minutes, but you only have three, then we've got another solution for you. Write it down. Read every single email we get. Send us links. Send us videos. Take us to the edge of the rabbit hole, and we'll do our best to do the rest. All you have to do is drop us a good old-fashioned email where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.